This is Infection, the Survival Podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, March 14th, 2017, episode 113, PAX edition. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Infection, the Survival Podcast. Infection is your source for the latest information on survival video games. We bring you the latest news, reviews, updates, and more each and every week. My name is Nick Craig, at Nicholas M. Craig is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website, and I am alive and well post-PAX East 2017, and so is this guy, Brian Aldridge. Hey, Brian.
You're mostly well.
Mostly well, yes.
Yeah, a little cough. Hey guys, if you want to find me at Boise, if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or you're more than welcome to go to my blog, Bite of Tech, B-I-T-E of tech.com. Also, make sure if you're not following us on Twitter, then make sure you go to Twitter and make sure that you're following us, because maybe you've listened to us for years.
Maybe you're with us.
You're hanging out with us over the weekend even, and you never bothered to follow us on Twitter. So if you're not following us on Twitter, could you go on there, click follow. Also, we have our Steam group. We have our Discord channel. And hopefully, you know, any of those people out there that are listening to our podcast and they've never bothered to go to those other things, please go there and join us, especially on Discord, because that's a great way. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised by our group of people that we have. For instance, I mean, I don't know if we want to go into this right now. Like we went and had dinner.
Yeah, sure.
To a whole convention with one of our listeners. And then we also went to dinner with another one of our listeners over in Boston. And that was great.
Yes.
They're normal people. It's surprising how on the internet you can run into normal people.
I mean, Brian was normal. So, I mean, Brian was going to show up and it was a total like a catfish. Like it was going to be somebody completely different.
Yeah.
Yes,
like those people are like, I could talk in front of a camera, kind of normal, but then in person, like I have some sort of recluse.
I don't know. I mean, you show up and you're like a completely different person. I mean,
yeah.
I was a little concerned. Yes.
When I didn't show up till midnight.
Yeah, so let's talk about this, Brian. You missed your flight because you're an idiot. I mean, there's really no other way to put it, right?
That was pretty much what it was.
Let's see. Sorry, I'm rearranging. Something happened. Dead monitor. Had to rearrange shots. We're good. We're good now. So, we've met up with Infected Heisenberg. We went out to dinner at the Boston Burger Company. Not a sponsor of the show, but unbelievable hamburgers.
Oh yes,
best burger I've ever eaten, for sure, without a doubt.
And I was thinking to myself, man, if they had this in Boise, like it would be amazing because the burger was like nothing I've ever had before.
No.
And we had the 420 burger.
Yeah.
And what all did it have on it? So it had fried macaroni and cheese,
mozzarella sticks
below the patty, and then mozzarella sticks,
potato wedges,
potato wedges on it, some kind of a sauce,
bacon, onion rings.
It was incredible.
It was an all out deal. Thanks to Heisenberg for showing up to dinner. Hey, and he got some inside knowledge. He pretty much heard this entire show. on dinner Friday night that we went there, Saturday night we went there. So he heard almost the entire show Friday night. But I mean, it did happen. I mean, here's the video, the picture proof. I mean, we weren't some like Norwegian scam where steal all your money and disappear.
Hey, we want you guys to send us to PAX. Oh, we just bought something.
Yeah. So it did happen. We had a lot of fun. It was nice to finally hang out with Brian. It was nice to hang out with Lance. And we're definitely doing another event, either PAX East or something else, PAX West, PAX South, some other type of PAX event.
Dr. Disrespect will be at PAX West.
I don't think we should base our coverage of the event based on Dr. Disrespect.
Who we might meet.
I mean, that's a little bit much.
And you know he doesn't like just sit out there and hang out. Like I think he's more about probably going to something, getting some funny videos, because like when I saw him at last year's, I don't remember if it was PAX West or if it might have been TwitchCon, I think, and he just had kind of like a video of him awkwardly like sitting behind at Ark Legger,
great,
and just kind of like glaring at him. It was hilarious.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like, I mean, there were some pictures of him next to people, and he's just a giant.
Yes,
I mean, he truly is. Like, it's not something he says. He's 6'8".
That's a pretty big guy.
Yeah. So you can't miss him.
Exactly.
Like Arclecker, we didn't see the whole weekend.
No, that was a little. No, that was a little disappointing. We didn't have a chance to run into the H1Z1 people. I tweeted them a couple of times. I just wanted to grab a picture with them. I thought that would have been cool, but to no prevail. We did not get one. But I guess that's our own fault because of how we, I guess, treated them in the past. So,
karma.
I guess so.
Oh well.
I wouldn't change anything I said though, so it doesn't really matter. A quick kind of in-house PR note. If you love your Infection podcast, like I do, head on over to our website. We have the special edition of Infection. Brian, this is our first special we've ever produced, like podcast-wise.
Really, it's kind of like, this is really episode, what, 114?
This would be 114. But we don't want to screw up the numbers for that. But we do have our PAX East 2017 edition up. It's just as long as a regular podcast, an hour, 113 minutes. So just comparable to a normal show we do. It features myself, Brian, and then Lance talk about the show. Very casual, a lot of jokes, rated R. Don't listen with your kids. But check that out. Audio and video with that. You can get it on your podcast app. It was a lot of fun. It was probably one of the best shows we've done. It was a lot of fun to sit and, and I always say this, feeding off other people's energy. It's very hard to feed off your energy remotely.
Yeah, through a camera.
Yeah, well, it's just
plus,
it's
a
just
little
hard.
Bit of a delay,
yeah,
too.
I mean, body language is, and that was the thing, the conversation was able to flow so smoothly because there was no latency. So that was nice.
Yeah, and I think that's something we really notice when we're doing an interview. I mean, between Nick and I, we've discussed this afterwards. It's really hard when we're interviewing someone else. And we're both talking, yet there's only one of us on the screen. We can't see because we kind of use a little bit of body language when we're talking here.
Yes.
Of just kind of seeing when someone's going to talk or, whatever. We feed off of that a little bit. But in person, it's just you just go with it. And it is easier, but I'm not moving to New York, so we have a little
and
bit
I'm
easier.
And I'm sure as hell, no matter what Brian thinks, I'm not moving to Boise. Brian is the biggest Boise fanboy. My God! We don't have that. We don't have that in Boise. We have this in Boise.
Yeah,
Boise this, Boise
like,
that. I don't
can,
care.
Like the traffic, like the weather. I'm just like, man, in Boise it's like 60 something degrees right now.
Brian
in
may
Boise,
just be,
man, it take me 5 minutes to drive.
Yeah, I know.
That's 45 minutes.
Brian might as well just be married
it
to
all
the,
weekend.
Brian might as well just be married to the city and just whatever. He's in love with Boise, Idaho, for God knows whatever reason.
Wonderful place. Don't move here.
Yeah, exactly. So let's see. What else do we want to? We do have PAX coverage. So over the next 2 weeks, pretty much this week and maybe another week, not next week, but the week after, we're gonna try to split our PAX coverage in half. So we're gonna try to do half or so PAX coverage and then half news and get to what we get to because we do have a lot of stuff to talk about. What else do you want to cover from PAX before we get started?
Okay, so not covering anything that we've talked about that we will be talking about. What did you think of the numbers? Like, as far as I think, I don't have an exact set of numbers for how many people were there, but it was probably about 60,000 to 70,000 based on previous years. That's what they did before. I'm assuming it's pretty close to that. They sold out. I mean,
yeah.
So if it's at any kind of their previous peaks, it'd be 60,000 to 70,000 people. When we went there on Friday, it seemed like at first there wasn't a ton of people, but Saturday, on the other hand, just walking around, like you're constantly filing through and walking around people and taking, having to wait for a row of people to go, and then you take a couple steps forward. It was pretty insane.
Yeah, I was impressed with the crowd size. I was impressed with the exhibitors that were there. I saw a lot. I was on the PAX East or the PAX subreddit, and there was a couple people saying that they didn't. This was one of their least favorite PAX East, and then of course on the flip side of that, other people saying it's the best PAX they've ever been to, and they've been to all of them. So. I guess overall, I think it was a pretty good event. So a lot of cool games there. We had the opportunity to talk to a lot of cool people. Of course, Nintendo was there with the Switch, which is super cool if you're into that stuff. Bethesda had a huge freaking booth. Same thing with Sony and Microsoft and Xbox. Twitch had a I mean, they I would say Microsoft, Twitch, and Sony and Bethesda pretty much controlled like maybe a fifth of the convention center. They had that entire front area pretty much exclusively to them. Those five vendors had that entire area. And Blizzard, they had a huge presence there. But other than that, I mean, yeah. People keep asking.
And we
me,
didn't.
Well,
go ahead.
People keep asking me, what was your favorite? You know, what's like the best thing that happened? And there really wasn't anything that was like insane. Overall, it was a very good event. We went there to get coverage of a couple of games, mostly survival games, which we did.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't say, like, I don't know about you, but there was nothing earth shattering.
Well, and we're not going out there like searching for people that we figure are like Twitch famous. Like, I saw someone who's well known that if I said his name right now, you probably know. You know, Nick knows who he is.
Yes.
I saw him standing there all by himself. Like, he probably first came in there, was standing there just looking around by a sign, like nobody was talking to him. But you know, we could have gone up to him and talked. Going there, I don't get all excited of like, oh, we might be able to talk to, I mean, like Player Unknown, like I want to talk to people like that.
Yes.
But I'm not like a super fanboy of people where it's like, oh, here's a famous streamer. I mean, we saw some, I guess, famous streamers, if there's famous streamers.
I mean,
like
we were there, so
like, I don't go running around saying, oh, I ran into and got to talk to this person. Like, if I saw Summit, I would have been like, let's not bother walking over there. I mean, we can go shake his hand or something, but I'm not going to follow him around the convention center.
Yeah. So I mean, overall, and I'm not trying to downplay the event and like, oh, you know, we didn't have a good time or whatever, because we did. We had a great time. It was an unbelievable experience.
But I think that's some of those peaks that some people are like, oh, I met this person that I idolize. And then they go on Twitter and they're like, oh, this was the best PAX ever because they got to meet that person. We didn't really have that. Like, we have certain people that, you know, we were glad that we were able to talk to them, but it's not like a rock star event.
Yeah.
To me.
And the other thing that people need to keep in mind is that we weren't going there to see stuff that necessarily we thought were, like, for example, I'm into more first person shooter stuff. You know, there was some of that stuff around, but we didn't have a chance to go buy that because we were going there as media. I wasn't going there as just a regular person that checking out the show for. We were on a pretty tight schedule. So I would imagine.
We didn't want to wait in line for an hour
exactly.
To go do something. Like, we were walking almost the whole time, just making sure we saw every booth, which we may still not have seen. I mean, we tried.
We really didn't, because Saturday afternoon we walked by a booth and we're like, holy, how did we miss this booth? How are these guys there?
So, it wasn't, we didn't have time to sit there and wait in the huge lines to possibly do a meet and greet with a Twitch streamer.
Well, not,
no,
but I'm not even
seconds.
Talking about that, but like,
there were lines, standing there.
But I'm saying in the convention center, like, it would have been cool to go check out the Nintendo Switch booth, but again, they had a crazy long line. It wouldn't, had no interest in staying in that. I know Microsoft was, somebody had some like Call of Duty, or Call of Duty World at War Nazi Zombies. Thing going on some computers that would have been cool to stop by, but again, we didn't have time for that stuff, and I'm not complaining about that, but I'm just saying I think that's why we didn't have what was the best thing, because we were there working, not that it was oh god, I had to work at PAX, but we were there and we had a goal of stuff to cover.
Now PHE brought up, he brings up something, he says lines with press passes. That's the thing, is even with those, like, the press passes don't get you to the front of, maybe if we pushed it, but like with the Nintendo Switch, I don't think it would have really helped us.
Well, here's the thing. It would have helped us, but we would have had to record a video for the Nintendo Switch, which isn't our, and here's the thing. We don't want to take advantage of that stuff. We don't, Brian doesn't care about that. I don't care about the Nintendo Switch for the use of infection. It's not, as of right now, there is nothing useful that the Switch can offer. That is relevant to the show.
We didn't go out of our way to manipulate, like, oh, we have a press badge, you know, let's skip and just do something, you know, when we weren't really going to use it for the show. We tried to keep it pretty zoned in to everything that we covered, we could for most likely use on the show.
Exactly. So, but again, I want to thank everybody who was able to or was kind enough to help us in the process of going. Our final final amount was $552 for PAX East. That's what we raised. and that luckily covered our hotel stay. So seriously, no joking aside, thank you to everybody that threw us some money for this trip. We greatly appreciate it. We did
minimal money out of pocket, which was great. It made it very affordable. And if we can do something in the future that's similar,
that
would be great, because it's tough when, you know, if you go to this and it's $1,000+ per person each time, that can, you just get to where it's like, doing this for every year or twice a year, that gets expensive.
Yeah. And you know, we're not making any money with this show as we intended not to. So it would make it tough for all of us, especially somebody like Lance, who really isn't on the show to, you know, drop $600-$700 to come up here and pretty much just hang out with us. So, you know, again, we really appreciate everybody that did that. And hopefully we'll be able to do something like that again next year, because it seemed to, the crowdfunding model seems to be very, very successful. So,
and we might have to stretch it out over.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
because there definitely was some things that we had to pay out of pocket.
We'll talk about it in the after show a little bit.
Yeah, for sure.
Shoot some stuff around.
all right. Well, we do have a couple of interviews that are already done. So if you want to head on over to our YouTube channel, which is on infectionpodcast.com, click the YouTube button, or just search Infection Podcast on YouTube, you'll be able to see all of the videos that we do and in their entirety. I think we have 10 or 11 complete interviews that are on topic, in genre, all survival. So if you want to check those out, if you're listening to this in your car, you can head on over to our YouTube channel. You can see all of those in their entirety. Let's take a look, Brian. What do we want to jump into first?
So let's go ahead and start out. Hand of Fate's pretty short. So this is Hand of Fate 2. This one is probably one of the more off topics, but it's a game I don't think I've ever talked about in here, but it's a game that's, I find very interesting. It's pretty short. This was kind of a test of our equipment as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, this is the first one we walked up and I'm like, you know, let's get this done. And it cuts out like at the end, but there was one question that pretty much got cut out. But it was good that we did that on our very first interview and realized that don't tape the volume thing in place. And so, yeah, so it's mostly there. But this is a game that we'll play this, and then I will describe anything that's kind of missing from because I ask him, you know, what is this game about? He gives a pretty good description.
All right, this is Brian with Infection Podcast, and I'm here with Lee with Hand of Fate 2. Lee, how would you describe Hand of Fate to the person who's never played it before?
So Hand of Fate is a one-part action RPG, one-part deck builder, one-part tabletop storytelling game. So you basically construct a deck of cards. Each one will have some fantastic equipment or a fantastic encounter on it. That gets folded into the dealer's deck. The dealer is your opponent. He lays those out on the table, and you move through those like a dungeon. Whenever you get into a fight, you fly into the cards, and you get into like third-person action RPG combat.
So in the first one, you have a deck of cards that you kind of build by beating levels, right? It adds to the cards that are in the game. On this one, it seems like you've changed up a little bit of not so much of maybe a linear path. I see a map. So what have you added in this version of Hand of Fate?
Yeah, we've changed our progression method. In the original game, you had 13 boss fights in a cabinet. Here we have a map with 22 challenges. Each challenge will have its own storytelling component to it. They'll also have a deck-building objective. We wanted to be able to, with each session, have players experience a story with a start and a finish, but at the same time, get them to be exploring their deck and engaging in more strategic deck building. So with our story, our challenge board, you know, people will be able to go through there. They're tiered. They'll be able to progress through the story of Hand of Fate whilst still growing their skills as a deck builder.
All right. So this game is pretty unique in that it is a deck building game. Just not that you go and say, oh, I have this card. It's actually to where you play and it just brings more cards into the overall deck that are played throughout the game. The cards are really like a map of they lay them out and you travel along each cards or like a dungeon. And so you can take a right, you know, go down one, take a card that's to the right and it'll take you down that path of the dungeon. And they're all turned over. So you don't know what you're going to run into. And then when you go to a place, like let's say you have a fight, it actually goes to a melee combat, like 3D type of fight. And they throw in all these different kinds of fights. It's pretty unique game. So we don't have video of gameplay, but if you go on Steam, there's videos there for how it's played. And not for this number two yet, but we do have, I don't know, we do have some press stuff that they gave us. So maybe at some point we can upload some of that and link it. But it's a really fun game, and it's one that works really well on the Steam box for streaming over Steam. So because it works really well with the controller, and it's not one that requires a really fast response time. So even if you have a little bit of delay in your streaming for the Steam box, it works perfectly. So that's one of those games I play on that.
Yeah, we were actually talking about this. I think you were saying something about you and your wife's experience, and I think I was saying something about mm-hmm. Felicia and I. It's really hard to try to find, not that this game fits that, but
it's not really a two-player game, but yeah,
co-op. And I actually, I guess I'd ask this question to our community. Send us a tweet at InfectionCast or email us, contact@infectionpodcast.com. What are some good controller-based couch co-op games that are available on Steam? There is a void, I think. If you're an indie game developer and you're looking for kind of a void, for example, Broforce is a great example mm-hmm. of a really cool couch co-op arcade game that works great on something like the Steam Link.
Yep.
But there's not many of those games. Of course, you have like your racing games that work like that, like Sonic All-Star Racers and a couple of other ones, but very limited. So if you're an indie dev, that may be a market to look into, because there's a lot of people.
If something works really well on the Steam Link, it most likely will work very well on console too. So that's kind of the downside of making games for PC and then converting them over, is usually the console is not, or the controller is not the first thing they keep in mind.
Yeah.
We did one interview where we were talking with somebody, and it'll be one that we didn't do a live recording, but we talked to him. And if we go into it in the future, it'll probably be us talking to him. You know,
I mean, we could say who it was. We interviewed. You want to say who it was?
Yeah, actually, well, I have to find his card.
It was the Culling. We had an interview with the
no, this is a different one. I'm talking about the guy with the space game.
Oh,
where I asked him about the controller.
Oh, gotcha.
And I asked him, you know, was this. We kept, you know, was the controller your? I asked what his preferred method of playing the game is, because usually when a PC game is put on PC first, it's keyboard and mouse. He said, you know, I prefer a controller experience, and I told him, I was like, that, well, that's perfect for, you can easily convert it over to Xbox and PlayStation with this. When most games, it's an afterthought, and you go and play Xbox, you know, you go play one of these other things, and it's just so clunky. Like we had brought up, that's how Ark is. It's very clunky with the controller.
Yeah, Minecraft is kind of the same way on consoles. Yep. It works if you don't have a computer, but it's definitely not an ideal experience. And then we did have a chance to talk with the Culling about some things they're working on in the future, and we'll have that interview probably next week for you, because that we don't have that one edited together yet. But this does seem to be the move. I believe 7 Days to Die, I mean, they will be coming to console as well. Telltale is publishing the game to consoles. So, you know, that seems to be the move. H1Z1, I would imagine, is eventually. They've said multiple times that game will be coming to consoles. This is where things get interesting, right? You've got this keyboard. You've got hundreds of keys with macros and everything that you have access to. Yeah. How do you bring that down to a controller?
Now I saw somebody playing with 7 Days to Die. I was watching it on Twitch and with a controller, and I was just amazed. Like, it's just not, it's not an easy task.
It's not easy to play with a mouse and keyboard with the 7 Days to Die. The inventory system is so confusing and complicated.
And this guy was clicking all over the place and doing everything. I was like, man, that's crazy.
I mean, I'll
lose patience with that.
And I'm no pro at 7 Days to Die, but even playing it on the PC, you're like, trying to click back and forth.
So that's the thing, is if you can make it with that controller in mind, first simplify your interface as much as possible. then it makes going to the Steam Link easy, because that's yes. that's the hardest thing we find the hardest is finding a good game on the Steam Link. Now, what's that one where they were doing all the tournaments for the driving? Where in the stadiums they play
Rocket League with their cars.
Rocket League.
Yes.
So Rocket League works very well over the Steam Link, other than if there's any delay with that game.
There's no delay if you have Ethernet. It's
So with Ethernet, but if you're doing it over Wi-Fi, like any delay in that game really causes a problem.
Yeah, and the Steam Link is not recommended to run over Wi-Fi. It's got it built in, but it's definitely not recommended.
Because you'll get a little bit of lag here and there, and in Rocket
you just get pauses. It's not lag. You just get pauses, straight up pauses in it. I've played Rocket League multiple times on the Steam Link with a gigabit Ethernet connection. Actually, with a 10100, a 10100 switch, so a 10 megabit connection, and no problems. No stutters. No hiccups. It plays
well, and I bought a Switch, not a Nintendo Switch. I bought an actual computer Switch, and to run a cable over there. So I'll have to try it out once I get that run. I think that'll be a lot better.
It is for sure. So
because even on AC, I don't even know, it's not really AC, but even the top of whatever connection, it's right next to the router with Wi-Fi, it still does the pauses.
Yeah, of course. We'll I'm curious on what people are playing. I know Green Man plays a decent amount of kind of couch co-op games over the Steam Link. But I'm curious on what people are playing with couch co-op, because it does seem to be a very limited market.
And even on the PS4, you'd be surprised. On the PS4, my wife and I, we like to play couch co-op games like you were talking about. And there's a limited number of couch co-op games on the PS4. And the PS4 is really a pain for even browsing the store, because they don't let you filter it by type.
Yes. Yeah.
So you can't just say, show me all the couch co-op games. Like, you have to look through and try to find every single couch co-op game. And we've looked, we've found a number of decent ones, but there's not very many that really do a good job of letting you play at the same time. And that's pretty disappointing. So I'm hoping that, and over this summer, they'll start releasing some that are pretty good, because we've gotten to the point where now, we're playing like Diablo 3.
Overcooked is not really one.
Overcooked we beat.
Overcooked's a great.
So you recommended it to me one time, and we got it, and we beat it within a week.
And I recommended it based off of Jake the Snake's recommendations.
And it was a lot of fun, but there's a limited replay value on that.
Broforce is another good one. I know you have that. I don't know if you guys have played.
I have
that
it on PC, but I don't have it on PS4.
Try it over the Steam Link. That's a lot of fun. It's a shoot 'em up. A lot of explosions. It's fun. But there's definitely a void there. So
all right. So here, this next one. Talking about playing at the same time. This is kind of a unique game. This is one that we talked a little bit about down during the special episode. But we came across this. We didn't plan this interview out. Like, we were wandering, and this was the hour before everyone else was let in. This was kind of like the press hour that you have at 9 a.m. That we were wandering around all the booths, just seeing where everything was, seeing where everything was, how everything was laid out. And we ran across this one booth that just had a lot of people sitting at it. And I think they were all people that were working the booth, because they all had those orange suits on. And we were like, these people seem really nice. The main thing is the people that we ran into and were talking to, they were the makers of the game, and they were just so nice. I went, we said, hey, we'll come back, because we didn't even think about it at the time. We were like, we'll come back. We'll check it out. And then didn't really think anything of it other than that we would come back and talk to him. So we set up an interview, if you want to play that, and then we can talk about the game a little bit after.
Yes, this is the Darwin Project, which Brian and I will have some opinions on after the interview.
Brian here at PAX, and I'm here with Simon and Thierry. They have a game that's a really interesting concept. Where you're talking about how this is a futuristic game. There's an overpopulation of the world, and people, when they're sentenced for a crime, are now having to participate in this. What's kind of the setup for this game? Like, there's a game master who is overseeing this, but how does it start in the game? Like, where does it start?
So basically, the idea is that now that the world is overpopulated, we're going down, we're running out of resource, and we're destroying the world. So now we need to reduce the population. So now every single crime, you sneeze in the elevator, you're sentenced to death. Every single crime is sentenced to death. So now there's tons of sentenced to death people. And there's this absurd entertainment show, because in a world like that, it's very sad. So they need a very, very strong entertainment product. They have this Return to Gladiator thing where they will just release six people in a crazy arena, a bit like in the Hunger Games, and they will not stop the match until only one guy survives. There is a show director who is supervising the whole thing just to make sure that everything is entertaining, and just like the Hunger Games, he has the ability to make the show entertaining when it's not. We're just teasing that feature for now because we're just announcing it and we have it in the game but not in the demo. We will say more about this thing later.
So you have right now, so it's six players that are competing and then the game master. So a total of seven at the moment in the game. And then later you were talking about a spectator, right? A spectator mode. Now, how does that work into the game as far as a spectator? Is that what you're teasing is the spectator mode?
The only thing I can say is that spectators on Twitch will be able to vote for what happens.
Cool. So it's an interactive Twitch type of a game. And that seems to be a kind of a genre, something that I've seen more and more is people getting things with Twitch being interactive with the game. Seems to be like a really new thing, and I like that. Now, with this, you have a demo here of six people. And it seems to be really popular. You have a lot of people here, and so you said you have a team of 12 people that are working on this. And then, for how long have you been doing this?
Yeah, we started the development in September just last year. So it's a short. We are still early in the development. Normally, we will release the game probably at the end of this year. So we are just at the middle of the development.
So you're looking at, so you've been doing it for about 6 months, you said, right, as far as active development. So 1 year, you're looking at releasing about 1 year into it?
Yeah, something like that. We are very, very fast. We've been independent like for 5 years, the core team. We've been following each other, even though we used to work for another studio, but we've been working together for 5 years, and we've developed this very strong agility process. And we're good at iterating quickly on mechanics to bring new ideas to maturity in a short time span.
So how soon till people will be able to get the game? Like, when can people expect to be able to purchase it on Steam, or is it? How are you going to be releasing it?
We are actually starting a closed beta super soon in 2 weeks. So if you are interested to get a Steam key, you can give us your email on scavengers.ca. So we will give, 100 keys, and we will have this very small community that will help us make the game much, much better. And then we will start an early access maybe in August, September, around that. So around August or September, you will be able to get the game and play with a larger community. But until then, if you believe in the concept and you think it's as awesome as we think it is, you can give us your email and we will work with you guys to build something awesome.
Very good. So keep an eye out. Should be on Steam. And we'll have more information on the podcast. Hopefully we'll get some keys and we can share with you guys. So thank you very much. PAX 2017.
All right.
This one, if you notice, I was talking slowly because English isn't their first language.
Yeah, they're extra Canadian. They're out of Montreal.
I'm kind of watching for that sense of like they understand exactly what I'm saying before they start answering the question. And that's why there's a little bit of a delay because I wanted to, and it was so loud. I mean, that's part of the thing that you don't hear, that the mic really covered up. Like the one guy, he couldn't hear my question because our mic, the way that we had it tuned, was there was a speaker directly behind them.
A big
PA
speaker.
That was just blaring.
One that you would use at like in a bingo hall or something, a very large speaker.
So it may sound a little weird when you're listening to the interview, but that's because at the moment when we're talking, it's just, it's blaring in our ear. And then I'm hoping that they understand me and they're not trying to like read my lips or something. I'm really excited for that one. It looks like a really unique game. One thing, they were so happy to talk with us. And I think that was something that we really appreciated because over the week, you start, or over the weekend, you start to realize that there's a lot of companies that this is just something they have to do. It's like, you're a number. All right, you have 15 minutes. You know, you got the interview, then you're done. You know, we got the next one coming on.
Yeah.
And with these guys, I didn't sense that at all. They were very appreciative. They actually sent a message out on Twitter that we were their first, like, we broke the game for them. Like,
we were the
first people.
We were the first people that included, we were the first people to show B-roll, which was that video of you playing the game.
It's not been publicly shown up and before that. So that's pretty exciting that you can actually see a little bit of the gameplay.
They were enthused to talk to us. We've got their contact information and hopefully we'll be in contact.
Now this would be
a
good fun game to do on the Friday night game nights, because they were kind of being a little bit, you know, tight-lipped about certain things, but I'll go into a little bit of my speculation of where I think this game goes or how it fits.
Okay.
And I think when you were stepped away for a minute to get something, I was talking a little bit about this before the show. I think that this is going to be a game that is very tailored for Twitch streamers. I think that it's going to be one where Twitch streamers will be able to pull in viewers to play and compete in these games. It's not required, but I think that this game fits perfectly in that type of a thing, to where they can go through and let's say, like, C's is playing a game. He can say, all right, I'm going to bring in, you know, five or six people, you know, subscribers to play. And he can pull them from there. It'll bring them into the game. He'll kind of manage the games. He likes to do that anyways, kind of control the game, put in what things are going to happen, what events are going to happen that affect the game, where the zones are going, and then, you know, and kind of run a game through the night, just bringing in Twitch people. And but that's not required. Like, you could just have a multiplayer game where one of the people there for that one time, they're a game master, and then it'll, you know, rotate through who's the game master each time. Still is able to be played without that. But I think let's do some speculation on that new Twitch client, right? They have the Twitch downloader that Twitch has been providing for all these Prime things where they're giving away free games. This would be the perfect one that these guys could provide even outside of Steam, directly through the Twitch downloader. It connects with Twitch and can use that application to be able to launch and connect the games pretty easily. I mean, do you see that as, like, the future? Is that like Twitch's long range goal, or do you think it's something different?
Well, I mean, I think Twitch is doing everything. And because they've been so successful, they've got, like Google, they've got money to test the waters with on different projects. They've got money to blow, essentially. I mean, you see it with Google. They have services like Google Voice, in which they don't charge you and they give you a free phone number. And that's because Google is so freaking successful that they can invest.
Google
kind of
throws everything at the wall and see if it sticks.
Yeah. And I think we're starting to see a little bit more of that with Twitch now, because it's owned by Amazon. And again, Amazon has got so much freaking money because they're so successful.
And they're going into the game business. So
they're
going
to be developing games. I mean, they just, for example, right now as we speak, they are doing a complete Power Rangers run marathon on Twitch from start to finish. They had to pay for the rights to air that show.
800 and whatever episodes.
Yeah, that's, you don't just go and get 800 episodes of the Power Rangers from, I don't know who produced the show back in the 90s, but whoever produced, you don't just get those. You have to pay licenses to do that and stream those on the internet. So, you know, Twitch, because here's the thing, this isn't a money making venture for Twitch, but because they're so successful, they can just do this stuff, right? They can throw a couple thousand dollars.
But let's say they're going to treat this like Amazon does with Prime. Amazon has Prime audiobooks. Amazon has Prime digital books. Amazon Prime videos. You know, Amazon Prime, all these things. What about Amazon Prime games? Like, to where it's like you have an Amazon Prime subscription. It's the equivalent of, as long as you have a subscription, you have the ability to have, you know, a library of video games. Is that possibly going to be a way that they're going to try to maybe compete with with Steam initially. I mean, because it's not like you have to go and buy the games off of there. They treat Amazon Prime Video as, okay, they have a place where you can rent and you can purchase, but there's a huge library of free games, or sorry, free movies, free TV shows. I really see them going in the future and treating the games the same way, to where they have an initial set of a big library of free games, PC games. Yeah. And it may even go into possibly, that's the thing, is it's really tough. They can't really compete with PS4 and Xbox because of the market. Like, they can't control the market, but in PC, they could. There isn't a centralized, like, you have to go through our market in PC. Like, they can control the environment with an Xbox or a PlayStation.
Yeah, it's...
I really see that. They have subscription-based gaming. I mean, I've not heard anyone really talk about it, but I really see that. Now, PS Now, PH is bringing it PS Now. The PlayStation Plus, they say, as long as you have a subscription, that there's, you know, some games that you can get for free.
But that's not some games.
It's not to the level.
But hold on. But those are limited. Excuse me. Those are limited things. PlayStation
not
Now.
A huge amount of games.
Well, it's not. You don't pick PlayStation Now and Xbox Live Games for Gold. You get two free games a month, but you don't choose the game.
It's, now, PS Now, is that how it works with PS Now?
Not with PS Now, but with PlayStation Plus.
But those are streamed. I mean, they're
Even installed. But I'm saying there's different services, and we need to be careful which ones we're talking about. PlayStation Now is a game streaming service that is available on Sony.
PlayStation Plus, there's just a few games that happen to come with it.
Well, every month with PlayStation Plus and Xbox Games for Gold, you get two free games that Sony and or Microsoft have worked with publishers and developers to give those away. So I don't see Twitch become. I don't. Here's the thing: people aren't going to leave Steam.
But I think Twitch. I don't necessarily think it's going to be branded under Twitch so much as I think it'll be branded as an Amazon Prime, because they keep saying Twitch Prime. But I think Amazon is kind of testing the water, saying, "What about us delivering games?" And if they offer a huge library, like if you can get it installed on enough people's computers, like Steam is, then people will take it seriously. It's just all these other clients, like people avoid, they don't even bother running it unless they're going to launch the game. Steam's one of the only things that people keep open all the time. And I think if they can get it to where they can get another client that people just consider one of the apps that opens and they're fine with it, then they might be able to go in the market a little bit.
Yeah. So
I don't know. That's just purely speculation.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Twitch is working on a new program to which you can buy games through streamers, and you'll be able, and there'll be some type of
kickback.
But
do you really think it's going to, and I don't think that'll be on Steam.
I think it should be, because, I mean, we've seen what happens the whole Twitch Prime thing, but we see what happens with you playing with Origin. People don't want to use the service, so they don't buy the games. I mean, you're not going to catch me dead buying games on Twitch Prime that I can buy on Steam. Because, again, I'm already running Steam, I'm already running Origin, and I'm already running Uplay. I'm not running a fourth service. I don't use the other two because they're a pain in the ass, and I don't have any of my friends. And, I mean, and Battle.net's the same thing with Blizzard. It's a colossal pain in the ass every time. Hey, man, what's your Blizzard ID? What are the three numbers after it? What's your Origin name? What's your Uplay name? They need to integrate with Steam, because Steam is clearly Steam controls the market, and I don't think they're stupid. I mean, here's the thing, Brian.
Try to compete,
but I don't think they will, because when you buy a Steam code on Amazon, you download a program, and it's like, and it creates a text file with the Steam key.
Right now, I don't think they want to do that.
I don't see them competing with that, because they won't be able to compete.
Then why wouldn't they have it to where when you do Twitch Prime and you get a game on there, they have you download the exe file and install it? Like, why wouldn't they just give you, they link it to your Steam account?
I mean, but here's the thing with Twitch Prime, the free games, nothing has been, it hasn't been any full games. I mean, that's what it comes down to. It's been kind of like the weird Humble Bundle indie games that they give you, exclusive.
I think it's just them testing right now. They're kind of testing how everything works and making, like, getting it, because their client isn't really that good. I mean, it downloads an exe file that you run. Like, it's not like Steam at all, in that it's not managing updates. It's not managing the game. I don't think they've even gotten to that point yet. it should be a lot better. I mean, if they have the whole studio of Amazon behind them, like I can't imagine how they don't have a nicer client for installing games on there.
I hope and I pray that Amazon does not become another game thing. Because, for example, the reason I do not play games like Assassin's Creed is because I have to buy them on Uplay and I don't want to use Uplay. Because it's just, it is so inconvenient.
That's where they would have to make it kind of like, well, if you want, they would have to really make it useful.
Yeah, and they're not going to. Nobody's gonna compete with Steam the same way that nobody's gonna compete with Google, because they're just too big.
But PH brings up what if that desktop app, you know, becomes kind of a staple, like it's the chat app, it's the streaming app, like,
well, we'd have to see
Twitch.
We'd have to make
it so seamless, and then also, oh, you want to have some games that are launchable with to play with your favorite streamer. Like all managed in the interface, like that could be getting it to where people keep it open. They just need to come up with an app that people are willing to keep open because it's useful enough. And then people are like, oh, well, it's here. I get these extra features for buying it through here. Or there's a huge library of free ones to where I'm not going to buy them on Steam. I mean, it would take a long process to kind of pull the reins away from Steam.
Yeah. And
I mean,
and
it's not going to be overnight.
But you also have to look at the situation, as well, because you got to remember, Valve doesn't charge users to use Steam, and you're talking
but it
about
charges a big chunk
to the but again, that doesn't affect me, Brian. I'm the consumer.
I
so
know.
If but you that
if,
but hold on, but hold on, hold on, hold on,
half price games on Amazon.
But hold on a second here. This is where things come into key. You're thinking of this in the whole scope. You're thinking of this as the consumer and the developer and the publisher. You're looking at this all angles. Brian, if you're the developer and I'm the consumer, I don't care. Frankly, I don't care how much it costs you. I don't care how much you lose off the game I buy. I'm buying the game for $40. If you make 20, doesn't matter to me. If you make 5, it doesn't matter to me because I'm still getting the game I want. So, I mean, you're gonna have a hard sell with this product if they decide, hey, it's a Twitch, another perk of Twitch Prime, which is Amazon Prime. I mean, that's not if they want to okay, see, if they so, want to make a serious game launcher competitor to Steam, it needs to be completely free. And from what I've seen, I don't think Amazon is interested in doing that.
Okay, so what if they offer when you're buying a game on Amazon, if they have the Steam link version, so it's a drop down, you choose, you can get the Steam version, which is the normal price, or for almost half the price, you can purchase the game through the Amazon branded or Twitch
developers
branded.
Will not publish games on that on that service.
But the thing is they're paying 45% Steam to be able to publish
there. Okay, so you're telling me if they pay 45% to Steam to publish it, and Amazon is only going to charge half the price, you think Amazon's only going to take 5%? That's what you're saying.
Yeah.
No, Amazon's going to take way more than 5%.
They would initially to compete.
Twitch takes 50% of subscriptions that come into their site. They take 50. You subscribe
That's a once a month thing. Plus they give away one free, whatever.
But it's you subscribe for $4.99 a month to a channel. Twitch takes half. Twitch takes $2.50. The streamer gets $2.50.
I think they'd be willing to build up their library, take a loss for a period of time.
I don't think so, but we'll have to see. I mean, this. I don't see them. Steam has got the monopoly, but I don't.
They are a monopoly.
They are, and that's fine.
But I think if Amazon is serious,
if Amazon is serious,
the game more seriously, I think that's what it would take for them to be able to pull.
Yes, they'd have to lose a shit ton of money for a really long time to just try and possibly compete, which I don't see Amazon doing. I mean, at the end of the day, Google has got way more money than Amazon. Amazon's got money to
Google
spend.
Google doesn't take things seriously enough.
But
though.
That's the thing. Amazon is not going to start a service up like this in which they have to spend 5 years giving away everything for free to maybe make a little dent in Steam. That's not going to happen because they have to. It just won't happen. So
yeah.
We'll see what happens with that, but this game, scavengers.ca, based out of Montreal. I think we're going to have a good relationship with them in the future. They were very enthusiastic to see us and talk to us, and I really, really look forward to
I think we'll be able to get some test keys. Well, and that's the thing. It was scavengers.ca, I think. Was that the
scavengers.ca, correct.
.ca. If you go on there, you can contact them about some keys. I'm sure we'll try to get some to where if it's something that we could do as a Friday night game night, I really think that would be a cool thing to get in that initial alpha or beta or whatever they're calling it.
Yeah. So that's
So should I write down that first prediction of mine on my new
notebook? Oh, yes. So, yes, you've got your new egg.
My new egg notebook, really nice notebook. So this is pretty much my prediction book. So I can write down, and I'm not reusing the erasable ink, Nick. So
yeah,
I can't change my predictions.
All right. Yeah. Write it down on the book.
I think that because I personally, I think that just having I've dealt with Amazon. Okay. Here's a perfect example. I dealt with Amazon when they first released S3 and I saw how they treated that. Like they do things at the lowest possible price to be able to get into the market and to become a serious contender. And if you look at what they've done with S3 in the last week, Amazon S3 had an issue.
Yep.
And it took down a huge chunk of the internet. And this was just an issue with the Northeast servers.
Yeah, knocked out my colleges. Our entire intranet runs on S3, and it knocked all of those services out.
And if you look at how they got into that market, it was because they offered such a good price that they weren't really making a huge amount from, like, they weren't doing what most of the providers that were offering anything even close to it. They were giving the best price they possibly could to not lose money, and they've taken over that whole business. Like, they are now the main contenders when they came out of the middle of nowhere with it.
Looks like I don't know, Brian, we're losing you. I don't know if you want to just give me I don't know if you want to give me a call back. the audio seems to be getting a little jittery. So Scavengers looks to be a pretty freaking awesome game. The nice thing about that is that, you know, it's only been in development 6 months. For example, the spectate mode of the game was phenomenal. That's what you were able to see that on, I think on the video I showed. They've got a really cool spectate mode. They've got a lot of really great things for a game that has only been in development for 6 months. So with all of that being said, I really am looking forward to this game. I think they're working on a lot of cool stuff. We're going to continue to follow it. We'll see if we can't get somebody on the show in the coming weeks. That would be really cool. All right, yeah. We're already 52 minutes in, and we still have two games to cover, so let's run through these quick. Let's just do one more for right now, Brian, and then we'll try to do everything else in the next two or three weeks.
Okay.
Battlegrounds. I had the opportunity to interview the player unknown, and we actually, again, hey, I mean, we're kind of a big deal. What can I say? We got another exclusive, him talking about a new feature of the game first. So we'll roll into that interview with the player unknown. And then we'll talk about that.
We are here at PAX East 2017 with the infamous Player Unknown. Let's talk a little bit about Battlegrounds. This game, the new release that's out now, everybody seems to be loving it. And we're really tough on games. And there's not a whole lot to say that's super negative about the game. What's the community's response so far?
Community being really good. I mean, we have a solid, pretty solid base now to work on. And their feedback on our forums have been great. They've been giving us like really good suggestions and bug reports and helping us make a better game.
So let's go into some more specific details about the game. You just did your duo test last weekend. What did you learn about, what kind of information did you collect from the duo test, and what did you learn from it?
Mainly for these tests, we're trying to improve our server performance, and having large numbers of people to do that on a weekend basis is good for us. So we have, like, every week we're not focusing on adding new features. And now we're focusing on really optimizing the game, both the server performance and also optimizing client side as well. So these test duos and even just solo tests, they're just helping us improve the server performance. We will get feedback on duos as it goes on. It's super fun at the moment. People love duos. It adds a new level of tactical play to the game. But overall, it's more about performance. That's what we're focusing at the moment.
I guess the only main issue that I saw online with duos is the coordination between you and your teammate both trying to parachute at the same time. What's kind of the plan that you guys are working on to try to make it so that the teammates land together and it's not such a pain to coordinate with them?
That's up to the teammate. You know, it's like, I don't want to put in a system where, you know, we eject you both at the same time. It's like, you better be communicating with your teammate or else you're going to end up half of a map away, you know? Yeah. And that's the idea, that it's meant to be tough. It's not meant to be just an easy game. It's like...
Well, and that's the thing I like, is that there's a, some other games that are more arcadey, and this is hardcore. This is back to DayZ. This is what's really tough, and it's not easy. Even though you have a map and a directions and compass, it doesn't make the game any easier.
No, this is our point all along, that I wanted to make a tough battle royale. You know, it takes a little bit of time to learn and learn about the attachments and the different weapons and where to go for better loot. But at the end of the day, I wanted to make a tough game. We are forgiving in certain elements of the game, like the parachute opening by itself and stuff like that. But that, again, will be improved on. And I do believe the harder the game is, the more I enjoy it. And, you know, I said, like, last week, we want to make hardcore great again. You know, it's like... first-person servers, we want to have first-person servers that literally just no crosshair and first-person only, but, you know, it's more intense to play it that way. It's not going to be for everyone, but, you know, we want to bring that hardcore gaming back into Battle Royale.
Now, I saw something about custom game modes. Can you speak to what's going on with that?
So at the moment, we have a partner system with where we get, like, some of the better community members and streamers and stuff that love Battle Royale. And we'll give them custom game modes. So they'll be able to spin up their own server, invite people from their Twitch channel, and create their own version of Battle Royale. What I want to ultimately to do is, with those game modes, that you'll be able to upload them to the Steam Workshop, save them and upload them so other people can play your version of Battle Royale.
Yeah.
And they'll have a lot of control over the types of weapons involved, the length of the round, team sizes, everything they want, really.
And that's cool stuff, because that brings me back to, like, Halo 3 with the custom games and going through the workshop and finding stuff like that.
Yeah.
That's really cool. What would you say to people that maybe played early versions of the game when it was a little iffy? What would you say to them now to bring them back into the game?
Look, we're constantly focused on performance. You know, like, the amount the game has improved since alpha to beta, like, you can see it just looks like a different game. The performance we're still working on, but up until now it's been focused on features and adding new systems into the game. But now we're into beta, and it'll be like early access beta, so we'll spend 80% of our time optimizing and performance for client and making sure that even low-end systems can run the game relatively well. And then
now, one more question for you. What's the plan with consoles? Is this something that this is? Could this game possibly come to consoles in the future?
So, once we get the PC version relatively finished and stable, we'll move on to launch it for console.
Awesome.
We're looking into it already. You know, it's what we want to do. So,
awesome. I appreciate your time. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
You too.
All right. And the bit of news in there that was the, I guess, the first time that Matt, Matthew, who is Player Unknown, talked about is first-person servers.
Yes.
And I guess that's a first, according to Sammy, who is the kind of the community manager for Battlegrounds. So
Poopy Queen.
Yes, as you may know her on Twitch and Twitter. So that was a good interview. It was nice to finally meet
him.
The Player Unknown.
And one thing, they're not giving away any more beta keys.
Is that, well, when did you
get
that
information? I saw her post that on. She said they're not giving away. Huh? Yeah.
Okay. So it's for a while. I would say about a week ago, they ran out of keys that they could give away. They got some more. They gave some away at the show,
they said that,
but it's over.
They're no longer giving away any more.
Okay, which makes sense. I mean, they're only doing, I think, two more
tests,
and then it's going to be over with. They did do pre-orders, actually, for Battlegrounds this week, but we'll get
sold out.
Yeah, sold out. We'll get into that a little bit later on in the show when we get to our Battlegrounds section, if we have time. But that was a really cool experience to finally meet Player Unknown and
and he was very nice. I mean, that's one thing that we commented on, is he was very natural to talk to. It wasn't like who are these guys? We just went up and talked to him, and it was kind of similar to the relationship that we have, when we talk about Conan or
yes.
with Jens. We go up to him, and he, because there's been some sort of interaction before, we just went up to him and was like, "Hey, it's really nice to meet you," and just started talking.
Yeah, and we do, and
it went
did,
very well.
And I did have the opportunity, like Brian said, to interview Jens Erik from Conan Exiles, who we talked to just 2 weeks before the game came out, a couple of months ago. That interview again will be done for next week. Let's move on from PAX now. We're an hour into the show. We've got some videos we'll try to split in next week. But we do have a pretty big announcement for next week, Brian.
Yes.
Coming on the show live next week will be Nelson.
So it'll be on the 21st?
Yes. He is the creator of Unturned.
Which will be our game of the week this Friday as well.
Yes. Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern in our Twitch channel. In our Discord channel. We will be playing Unturned. Nelson will be on the show this week, so we recommend you get in the game, figure out what you like, figure out what you don't like, and send us your questions, and we'll have an interview with Nelson next week. Talk about him. He said when he started developing this game, he was much younger. I think he was like 16 or 17 when he started development of this game.
That's what I heard, yeah.
And he's doing it by himself. He's a one-man show. I'm sure Brian's going to want to talk some more technical aspects with him. With the engine and stuff like that. So we'll have all of that next week with Nelson from Unturned. So hopefully you tune in next Tuesday. That will be the 21st, 7 p.m. Eastern time on our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. I hope you join us for that.
Yeah.
All right, Brian.
Now let's go. Do you want to quickly do our first game giveaway?
Yes.
Let me pull up the.
So you ask me if I want to do it, and you're not ready.
Well, I
yeah. Well, you're
just
yeah.
clicking things and closing, we'll be there.
So make sure you tune in for that, and definitely get us your questions. If you have something specifically that you want to ask Nelson, reach out to us either on Twitter @InfectionCast or an email contact@infectionpodcast.com. If it's a little more of a longer format question, we'll be sure to ask Nelson those on the show next week. Are you all set, sir?
Yes, I am all set now. So that's what I get for closing windows before I start the show.
That's exactly what you get.
So this one's going to be Beat Hazard Ultra. This is a game that actually has very good ratings on Steam. If you, I'll give a link to it so people can go check it out. And I think you can use your own music library on this. So it has music that you can play, and it's kind of a music-based game. So the game actually changes based on the song that you're playing. So if you're playing a song and it has a beat to it, like that will affect how the game looks and how the effects happen with the enemies and just everything. So it's a very unique game. It's got very positive ratings. It's pretty cool. So it also has music in there. So let's say you don't have a music library. It's got an hour and a half of music included with it, but you can use your own music as well. So that's Beat Hazard Ultra, and we will go ahead, and if you want to just put !! giveaway in chat, you'll be entered for that. But it's an action indie casual music game.
Yes, just right up our alley. Survival.
Yes. Survive the
music. Let's see. I got to get my lower thirds. A light week with Ark, Brian. What's going on?
I don't know. I don't know exactly.
Are the glory days over, Brian?
Okay, so here's my guesstimate, because I think we discussed this a little bit. Maybe it was just us talking over the weekend, but I think that they are winding down for release. I think they're getting to the point. I think they're getting to the point of we're getting to bug fix mode. Like we're going to add a few more major things. And most of that, is around the whole tech tier, water, just finishing up the tech tier stuff. But I think that they're getting really close to what they consider release of the base product. I think that after this, then they're going to be going to where new content is going to be constantly being added by the mod system, which we'll go into here just a little bit after this. But so if you look at this, 255.4, this was March 8th, and the only thing on it was fix several spoiling time exploits. So as the amount of time for something to spoil and to go bad, people were somehow exploiting that, and that is the only fix for March 8th. And then March 10th, they did two fixes. They fixed issue with turret targeting, and they fixed issue with plant turret debuff. So that is all. That's all. This is one of the shortest. Not like there's anything else major going on at the moment, right? That they're really the next patch is going to be at the end of the month. So on the 29th is 256. Now they're having 4 new dinos come in on that one. If you look, I think there's only 8 more dinosaurs after this patch.
Yep.
So after this patch, there's 8 dinos left because they had that huge list of not even dinosaurs, but creatures, dinosaurs, whatever, that they were looking at that they had in the backlog. They have 8 more, so maybe there will be 2 major patches after this. 4 more dinosaurs per patch. And that could be possibly when they announce they're actually launching out of alpha. I mean, do you think? I mean, that seems to be kind of the direction.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this for the past couple of weeks, so I don't want to get into this whole argument again. Or not argument, this whole conversation again, release versus not release. But there's definitely something.
Signs that
something is coming up, and we'll just have to see. We'll have to see what those are.
Now I put a link in the show notes because we had discussed last week that ARK sponsored mods program.
Yes.
And there's a video that kind of shows clips from each of those mods.
Well, is there audio to show along with this?
Well, it's not really anything that would. It'd be really bad for a podcast.
So then,
people,
why don't you go ahead and talk over it?
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, so here we go. And what we're looking at is ARK Moon Survival right now.
Remember when we said that they don't have space?
I said that last week. They have everything north of everything south of spaceships.
Where are they going to go next? And I think I said...
The moon.
The moon. Well,
looks
there
like
you go.
No Man's Sky.
So this is a mod that's going to be directed towards space.
Yep.
So that you can actually have a set up bases on the moon.
This looks great.
Yeah, I mean, this is a very unique game style. I mean, this is something that's nothing like. I mean, there will be similarities, right?
Yep.
And they have another one that's kind of a steampunk style.
Yep.
And so this one is, you can have steam equipment and steam outfits, steampunk outfits,
and air balloons, and
air balloon that's running off of steam. And so this is that feel. They have a castles, keeps, and architecture. So it's done. It's everything done in a medieval style,
which is really cool. Here's your mess hall.
Yep.
Next one here is that something console pad. I couldn't even read that. It was so quick.
But this one I think is more of just a feel, and they show some of their things for managing this, like where you can spawn things in, some of the new menu system, which is still, they need to really work on that.
Yeah, the menus for this are
the whole UI is still pretty rough.
This is the ACM, the advanced command menu.
So you can like spawn in or teleport yourself somewhere on the map, you spawn things in.
Tracking, you can trap. I think you can track things on the map and people teleports. Probably. There's the ARK Postal Service,
which has been in a mod form, but I think they're bringing it so you can bring it in overall.
Yeah,
in
you can
server.
Send mail. That's neat for trying to send messages to other groups without getting too close where they kill you. There's some big tarantula.
You have a
mailbox thing here.
Yeah, front porch. This one, I don't remember.
This is an RP. It says Eco RP. So this is more of a role playing, as you can see, the way that the food is lined up. This is more towards your RP aspect, where there's a lot of you look at ARK right now, the tables are kind of empty. This is more based around RP. So objects that sit
like
on top
everything's
of
full.
Tables, lamps, lights, candles, all that stuff to make it feel a little more RP, which is great for the RP people. There's like, there's fruit baskets on the table and stuff like that. Here is the Ragnarok.
Now this one's, it's more of a. It's the name doesn't really tell you what it is, but it's definitely kind of more of a environment.
Yes,
like they have just some cool places to find
ship
and explore
underwater, some type of ice cave or.
It looks beautiful.
It does. There's like a kind of a spider web infested cave as well, something out of Skyrim, and then the Madagascar Evolved, which is obviously based around Madagascar. It's got some rhinos, and it would be more of a safari element than anything else. And next, we have the Thieves Island in Skies of Something. And again, more environment-based, lots of waterfalls.
I mean, it's kind of like a theme of possibly a pirate-ish type of thing. They have places you can go find.
Yep.
That this looks like it's inside of a cave.
Here, NPC bush people.
So these are people that would be So NPC, so these would be people in the world?
Yes, people in the world that would be doing things.
Creating things and just like...
Possibly. Here's another mod that's, again, more environment-based. This looks like, again, some type of like past medieval, but there's a lot of destroyed structures, things over time.
I still see pteranons and things, so it's still kind of a fantasy universe.
Here's another one that seemed to be more mushroom-based. Here's some caves with some
so this is more of a fantasy-based theme.
Exactly. Stuff hanging from the ceiling, the caves and whatnot. Offline raid protection. This is what the kind of stuff we've been talking about for quite
a while.
This
one was run as its own mod, and so I had this.
Check that out
on our server.
Check that out. That's
so if all
awesome.
Of your teammates have logged off, it puts this force field around your base that will protect us, so people don't come and destroy your dinosaurs and things like that.
Yep. Survival Plus, which...
So this is the one they've already been doing, Survival Plus, yes. Which they're just going to keep on tuning. They're at like version 1.5 or 1.6 yep. of this. Really good job on
Here's,
it.
Here's structures and platforms. The platforms definitely needed work. They were very buggy right from the launch. They were very limited what you could do. This is pretty advanced with mixture of glass and one-sided mirrors and stuff like that. So that stuff.
I mean, it looks beautiful.
Looks super freaking cool.
So this is the initial set. So do you now maybe think that I might be a little bit right that they will have a place where you can kind of pick your experience since there's some theme based ones?
There are some theme based ones.
What adventure do you want to go on today? Kind of feel
possibly, but half of those did seem to be kind of extensions onto the already existing game and maps.
Some of them seem to be more for like if you wanted to make a custom server.
Yeah.
Kind of tailoring to that experience, but I'm wondering if from the main menu if they're going to kind of get away from the island and go for what experience, you know, do you want to go fight pirates kind of feel, do you want to go to medieval times, do you want to like what do you want to do? It just seems like it's kind of going to that. And I like Lance's land guns bringing up, you know, do we even know the arc storyline yet? I don't think that they'll have an arc storyline.
Yeah, who knows?
Like the island, I don't think they're really worried about a storyline there. I think they're just going to create a whole bunch of possible things that you can go do.
Yeah. So we'll have to see.
You want to go to the moon? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
there's
exactly.
No storyline there.
So we'll have to see with those, what comes of these. I would say out of all those, the moon one looked the coolest to me.
Most unique.
Yeah, it was the most unique, and it seemed like it not that those other ones didn't seem finished. But all those maps, it's more, maybe it's got another ground element.
The other ones have similarities to the existing.
You're
going to
play the game the exact same way you play it on regular, the island, or Primitive Plus. The moon seemed completely different. That seemed like a total no man's sky.
Like, yeah, it does. You have to have oxygen. Like they could really tweak that. Like you have to have oxygen and you have to do all these things,
that seems like a lot of fun.
And actually get resources out of the rocks to be able to fuel things. Like they could really create a pretty cool, it seems like they could create a really cool type of gameplay element out of that. That's not so much just run around, gather, and then maintain your base. Like there's a reason to maintain your base because you'll get a leak in it or you'll run out of oxygen and you'll die.
Yeah.
So that's the ARC sponsored mod program, so we'll have a link to that. So if you want to check out that YouTube video, it will be in our show notes. All right, do we want to move on to Conan here?
Let's do the giveaway.
All right, I will roll for this. Congratulations, Manstan3.
Hey, there we go.
Follower of the show.
Long time follower, long time fan.
Yeah, I like how now it tells us when we pick the raffle, do they follow or not? So, yeah. Very good. So I will send you a message inside of Twitch. It will probably be in other. So if it'll be a link so you can redeem that code. But click in your other messages and it'll be in there. It should be from Infection Podcast.
Yes. All right. Let's move into Conan. And of course, that interview will be next week. And I asked, I wasn't holding back any punches. I asked, of course, the elephant in the room question that we've been talking about for some time here on the show. So make sure you check out our YouTube channel for all of that stuff. This is the patch that took place on the 14th. So today, they were a little slow. They were at GDC. Then they were at PAX East. And by the way, they had a phenomenal booth at PAX yeah. East. A lot of people hanging out there. They had a whole bunch of computers set up, people playing the game. Brian, do you have a comic book with you?
Yes, I do. I have it actually right here.
So, they had all of these printed out. I say printed out like on a home printer, like legit comic books, legit Conan comic books. They're Dark Horse Comics, which is a legitimate name in comics. And God, they had hundreds, thousands of these things just sitting around around their booth. Conan was definitely the coolest booth we stopped by. Without a doubt, because there wasn't a whole lot of swag, but Conan came through and gave us a couple of books to give away. I've got a stack of about five or six behind me, so we'll do some type of giveaway to those, and I'll send some of those books out to people. But super cool booth, and we'll get to that stuff next week. So hey, you know, cut them some slack, right? Cut them slack for a couple of weeks. They've been at a GDC and
it's amazing how these conferences will wear you out. Like Nick and I think finally caught up on our sleep last night. But that's the one thing, is I was just exhausted afterwards. You're walking, but also it's just nonstop, nonstop for a couple of days. And for them, it's three straight days. You know, one thing I saw them post is, man, they're just hoping they'll get their voice back. Because it's something that you're talking on. You're talking for pretty much 3 days straight in a situation like this. So
yes, my voice was shot. Now that it's talking for 2 hours time, it isn't going to help us either. But we do have this Conan Exiles update. Excuse me. This came out today. The TLDR of this is a couple of exploit fixes. The first one is fixed a case where you could respawn inside of rocks, which I don't know if that would allow you to move outside of the rock or if it would just let you spawn
probably
in
be
and
stuck
move
in
out.
There, I would assume.
Who knows? But definitely you don't want to be spawning inside of rocks. And then fixed the second exploit that was fixed in this patch was a rocket jump exploit. I would imagine that you could rocket yourself over a wall, over into
somebody's
base. Well,
it says rock jump, so somehow you're... No, I think it was like you're jumping.
Oh, rock
from
jump,
a rock.
Not rock it jump. Okay.
Yeah, but did you see all those ones where people were... Well, I've seen it not necessarily in this game, but they use objects, and I think they were using a chair in this one. But they'll use objects in the world, and it'll just make them either go really fast. If you look at like the speed run of what's that game where Portal 2,
yes.
Or maybe it was Portal 1, where you look at the speed run of that, and they're just using objects in the environment to just slingshot themselves to different places.
Exactly,
it's amazing. You know, these people will find anything possible to be able to either get somewhere they're not supposed to be or to do something they're not supposed to do. So this is fixing one of those issues.
So there's something going on with the rocks that was allowing you to probably jump higher than you were supposed to. And then just a couple of other things in this change log quickly. Fixed a server crash related to database initialization. This is on the server side. A server wouldn't start up, which could be a problem. Server admins can now specify the amount of friendly fire. So if you maybe hit your... You could set that threshold that if you hit your teammate twice, it doesn't do any damage, but after the second hit...
And also that like guildmates can't hurt guildmates, so like this will be a sad thing for Joe.
Well, no, this is saying that you can specify the amount. So after two hits,
but it's also saying it says guildmates hurting guildmates.
Yes,
so
that's friendly fire.
You can turn off friendly fire.
That's what I'm saying.
You
can change the amount, so you can have it be zero, or you could have it be two, or have it be three. So after two or three hits, you would start hurting your guildmate. That's what that means. So you have the ability to do that. Female characters have stopped taking testosterone and should now sound like females. I guess there was an issue with the voices with that. Fix the bonfire cook thrall is becoming invisible after server restart. A lot of those thralls have been having issues after server restarts. I imagine they're continuing to iron those out like they have been the past couple of weeks.
I think they probably are pretty close to having them all.
Yeah.
Because they've seemed to have worked their way through them all.
It's no longer possible to walk on water in the northern rivers, so you... obviously be able to walk on that. Like Chris Angel, you shouldn't be allowed to. You have to swim. You can now place
religion structures
in local play. So if you're playing by yourself, I guess the religion wasn't working. You now can do that, which is great. Fix player bodies not being lootable underwater, which is something we dealt with in Ark. Was also a problem trying to loot bodies underwater. So you will now be able to loot them underwater if you can find them. And then shields should last longer in combat. So a little buff to the shields if you're a fan of those. I did notice from the little bit we played at the beginning, the shields were useless. Because after a couple of hits, they would break instantly. So, that's That's Conan. Small update.
Yeah, other than that, performance, yeah, server settings, and just, you know, general fixes.
Yes, nothing.
They did do some balance and gameplay fixes. So if there's some things that you found, you know, weren't being quit right, you might want to look through. And we'll have a link to the show notes so you can go through and check that out. Because this is a decent patch size for, they didn't have a ton of them, but they seem to have gotten them all out at once here on this one. So.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Looking at Conan Exiles, I would imagine they're getting ready to. I think the tides are about to change with that, and people are going to start coming back. It's much more reliable than it was in the past. So yeah. Hopefully this is.
Well, that's the tough thing with this is it usually takes a little while for everything to kind of settle out with the game. You know, they're finding all the things that just act weird, you know, don't work quite right. They're getting a lot of those things fixed to where now you can go through and do a game, you know, play for the full weekend and you're not being riddled with different bugs or things you're trying to work around. Everything should be fairly, working as intended at this point. You know, and then hopefully we'll start seeing some content updates to where now that it's working as they intended, then they can add new content, which I'm sure they're going to be doing here in the next month or two.
Yes, for sure.
Now, Player Unknown, they had a beta update number 2. So this was...
This is for the week before.
On the 9th, yeah. So this is what you would have played this weekend.
No, 2 weeks ago.
Or is it 2 weeks ago?
So this is the second update off the this was updated...
No, this would have been for this weekend. Because it was on the 9th. It was this past Thursday.
I know, but the issues are would have been discovered the week before. That's what I'm saying.
Would have been discovered, but it yes. would have been, I'm saying, is it equivalent to what you would have played
correct.
This weekend? That, yes. That would be, yeah, this would be the experience you would have had. So they went through and they said that here's some known issues. The client may freeze/lock when entering a game, which I did run into.
So did I.
Once, I think, maybe twice. Or when returning to the lobby, which I ran into that once or twice as well. It says restart your game to fix the issue. The spectate camera is fixed in third-person view when spectating teammates. It says we will continue to improve the features over the coming month. You may not be able to loot some items, so that's a known bug, and there may be cases of your character getting stuck in certain areas of the world. So these are things that I'm sure they'll have patched before this next 5-player test this coming weekend. And then changes that they made were for gameplay. They said both solo and duo modes are available all weekend, so you should have been able to play either solo or duo this past weekend. It will now be easier to drive through wooden and barbed wire fences. The X key has been included in the key bindings, and the default screen settings is now full screen windowed, which is, if you're going to be alt tabbing out, going to other windows, that's the best way to go. And you can now press the F key to cut away from the parachute when it gets stuck in various objects. So you press F and then it will, I assume if you hit F key too early, it'll probably kill you. So do you want to cover the rest of them?
Yes, excuse me.
I mean, if your voice is tired, I can go.
No, I'm all good.
Good.
So there's some performance and stability things as well. And by the way, that F key thing, I've tried it a couple of times, and most of the time it doesn't do anything, but yeah. Sometimes it does like kind of get screwed up.
Maybe they try to sense that you're stuck, like so you don't accidentally press it and drop from the sky and die.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to detect that you're not moving when you should be in it, but you're not touching the ground yet, and then they'll allow you to press it.
Yeah, and by the way, the big fix for me this weekend was...
Are you talking about cutting away or picking up things?
I'm talking about something completely different now.
Okay.
The biggest issue for me last week, and I'm sure for you as well, was the issue of the parachute rotating you 180 degrees when it came out.
Right before it landed.
No, it was right when the parachute deployed. You would be parachuting, you'd be wingsuiting down. The second you deployed the parachute, it'd flip you 180, which I think part of my question to him was, how does it work getting with teammates? I think it was such a pain in the ass because you're constantly getting... disoriented and being switched around to different directions. That was fixed this update, and I noticed together with my teammates, especially playing with PHVCK, we didn't once get separated. We didn't have any issues in which, you know,
and part of that's a learning curve, I think, as far as we getting used to the way that the parachuting works. You know, I think that the PlayerUnknown was correct in saying that, you know, this is going to have to be where we learn to communicate. And we, now that we don't have the game actually fighting against us on it, you know, it's becoming easier.
Yeah. So with that, I guess part of my question was negated by the update this week, but since I hadn't, we didn't have a chance to play it.
We didn't have it yet.
We had no idea.
Or we weren't at our computers to play it.
Yes. Just wanted to throw that in there, because that was my complaint last week, is that the parachutes were insane all over the place, and it made it very, very hard to get together with your teammate. Performance and stability with this, server performance has been improved, and we will resolve multiple crash issues. I'm sure you saw less crashing on server sides. I did get disconnected once from a server, spawning in. I was playing with Matt, jumped out of the parachutes, and probably 3/4 of the way to the ground, everybody just froze. And we just backed out and got back in, so that server crashed, I would imagine. Decrease the video and system memory that the game client uses. Resolve the client crash issues that occurred when trying to exit a game. Everybody seems to be having this weird issue when after the game ends, your game crashes. I've never had that problem. I always have the button to escape back to the menu, so I think that's a per computer basis.
I had where sometimes the button wouldn't show up.
I've never had to
escape and then exit.
The only time I ever had to restart the game was when I couldn't see a friend online. No other point did I have to do anything like that. Out of game, stats and leaderboards have been added. You know, that stuff's obviously going to be wiped after this, so it's not really important as of right now. And there's just a couple bug fixes for the gameplay in the UI. Fixed a bug that prevented some items from being looted in some occasions. Didn't run into that. At least the week before, and then fixed a bug that resulted in a glare being too bright for certain scopes. I did run into that last week. So now the reason I said that was for the week before, because these were all the bugs that existed 2 weeks ago were ideally fixed. Yes, ideally fixed. And they actually ran the beta a day earlier because of there was an issue. I guess actually when we were interviewing PlayerUnknown on Friday, he was saying that the servers,
the login servers
were down, and there were some server issues. So they extended the beta onto Monday, which was great. So, excuse me. That gave us the opportunity to play it.
Yep. All right. And then now Just Survive had some updates this week. They had the now for test server, they had March 8th. Do we want to just go to the live?
They're a little bit different.
They're supposed to be the same. So they must have changed some things.
Yeah, I looked at the notes and they weren't identical. And why don't you just do the live, and then I can look through the test while you do the live.
Okay, yeah, because they're supposed to be fairly close. All right, so this was today. For Just Survive, they did an update. Now, if you log in today, you will get 3 opened crates, and it's kind of like their thank you pack. So I'm a little bit of speculation here, but do you think this is to kind of make it so their Steam numbers, as far as people that are playing the game, maybe go up a little bit? Just getting people to launch the game, get them into the game when they haven't launched it. Or, you know, maybe people have uninstalled the game. This is kind of their secret little trick to get people to reinstall the game and at least have it on the computer so that they'll be more likely to open it. It's kind of my guess. But they're doing 3 free crates. So if you go in there, it's 3 different ones. And this is for Just Survive only. They had several individual crash to desktop fixes that they did. They optimized some rendering performance. They reduced a number of extraneous updates on NPCs with no behaviors ability ticking. They lowered the number of checks for NPC relevance. So this is to increase the server performance. They adjusted visibility distance for objects without profiles, so they're not invisible by default. They optimize NPC proximity checks. So this is another performance increase for servers. Navigation system optimizations, and this is NPC performance increase. The proxy broadcast rate was adjusted, and this is for server-side performance. All right. So this is also for proximity manager multi-threading optimizations. And so this was a server-side performance increase. Pungy sticks fixes. So they said they will now damage players and all zombie types. So if you lay the punchy sticks around your base, it should do damage to everything. Certain things won't pass over that. Wolf run speed reverted to the original setting. And I'm not sure if this is, I would assume that this is maybe a little bit faster, but wolves used to be messed up. I'm not sure how long ago they changed that, but however it was before with the wolves running, it should be back to that. Non-structure player items can now be placed on deck expansions or on top of player structures. And then infinite grenade hack has been fixed. So there was a note, I think, in the test server and before that, where there was a bug out there where people were having infinite grenades. So that should be fixed. So people shouldn't be able to continuously throw those. Miscellaneous base security fixes. So they fixed an issue with approved players being kicked erroneously in the base permissions. And then also base security now performs as expected. And then DLC outfit names fixed. So all outfits grants are now correct on Steam. So you should see those in there. And then comprehensive anti-cheat exploit countermeasures. And this is something that they always seem to put a thing afterwards saying, you know, we're constantly working on our anti-cheat. Just because we put it in here doesn't mean this is the first time we've worked on it since we mentioned it last time, is pretty much the...
Yeah, I think
it's pretty much what they hint at.
You know, I think, Brian, with mostly every game that is multiplayer online, they're always improving anti-cheat.
We're trying to.
And server performance. It almost gets a little bit much, especially with Ark, when it's like one update, fix server performance. Like, every single patch is a server performance fix. So,
yep.
You know, it seems like at this point, and any multiplayer game is constantly implementing or constantly working on anti-cheat and making that as good as it can be. Server performance and client's performance, those three are givens every single time.
So now, and one thing they put a note in here, because I think they've been really trying. Okay, so this is kind of the opposite of what, of the feeling now that I get from King of the Kill. King of the Kill is very successful, and it seems like kind of that appreciation for the community has gone away. They've got a huge, we'll go into the numbers later. But here they put a note in here. We have an amazing community and we wanted to do something nice. And this is saying in regards to the three crate pack, to say thank you for sticking with us and supporting us as we make JS the game we know it can be. So that's the point of that thank you. And I just think that this will, this is hopefully going in the right direction. I now in my mind think of Just Survive and King of the Kill as separate.
Yeah, as you should.
Yes, but for a period of time, I kind of lumped them all together as the same thing. I think now they're getting enough separation to where I treat them differently. And it says, they mentioned test update last week, but it bears repeating that this will be the last live push without new content.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. So
I know everyone is eager for the new map, modular base building. So be aware that new content is often going to mean things like the new melee system or weather. Things aren't always going to be happening at the pace you'd like, but I know that you're going to appreciate the results when we roll new things out. So from here on out, you know, this was kind of a performance bug fix patch. But after this, they're looking at putting out new content.
And it may be, excuse me, it may be a month or two until we have our next Just Survive patch, which, as I've said in the past, and I'll continue to say, perfectly fine. But if this verbiage is correct from Landon Montgomery, this will be the last patch before we start seeing new content. I hope that stays true.
I'm willing to give these guys the benefit of the doubt, and I haven't seen the major amount of crossover, like from these guys talking. It used to be that there's so much interchange between the two products that it was like, are they really different? They don't seem different. Like, they seem like they're the same thing. But I think now we're starting to see things are being fixed in Just Survive that don't show up in King of the Kill. So that is, they're actually starting to do their own development, and they're getting enough code base difference and enough difference between the two products to where they can no longer just say, oh, you fixed that? Okay, send me some of the code. Like, they're becoming two different products now.
Yeah, and it finally appears that we are at the point where, exactly, you know, fixing cheaters H1Z1 Just Survive is not going to be the same thing as fixing cheaters in King of the Kill. There will most likely be some overlap, and there has to be, because if there's not, then there's absolutely no point. So, I think, Brian, for us Just Survive people, not that we don't like King of the Kill, but for the Just Survive people, I think we are a month or two before we start seeing some really, really cool stuff out of Just Survive and out of the team there, because
how much do you think needs to be put in until you start to feel like, okay, that's enough to draw me
the new map,
to at least give it a shot?
I mean, the new map, I would imagine they're going to roll out modular base building and the new map in the same. Here's the thing.
I would hope they would kind of squeeze in modular base building before the new map, so that when they roll out the new map, like, it has that much better of an experience.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like I would kind of want to learn those things hand in hand, like I'm learning a completely new game.
I mean, or if they can release them at the same time. I mean, I just think that...
This is the way I see it. H1Z1, Just Survive, at this point in time, has such bad PR with it. It's terrible PR. It is the bastard child of Daybreak. Nobody plays it. Nobody pays attention to it. And it's a failure. I mean, there's like 3,000 people playing it at a time.
In its current state.
In its current state, exactly. I think the only successful way for Just Survive to come back is for them to release an update that includes new melee, new map, new base building, so that when you
as close to possible same patch as possible.
Not as close as possible. The exact same patch. I mean, here's the thing, Brian. They need people to come back and say, holy crap, this is a completely new game. That's how I see it. Here's the thing. If they introduce all of these things time and over and over, by the time the new map comes out, I'm going to already be comfortable with the base building system. I'm already going to know the melee system. I would want to go in and just play it like it is a brand new game. Like, I had downloaded it for the first time, and I'm going to jump into it because I'm not going to know where the hell I'm going, and I'm not going to know how to build anything.
It'll be kind of like the initial feeling that we had, and that's kind of that rush you get, like that feeling of a new game, a new world. You always get more gratification out of a game when you don't know the map. For instance, like that Horizon New Dawn that I've been playing, part of the fun experience of playing through that game in the very beginning was, this is a huge world and I don't know where things are. Like, I don't know what I'm going to run into next. But then as you get more to the end of the game and you know where everything is, then it becomes more of a repetitive, all right, I'm going to run around. I got to do this. I got to go here. I really enjoy that initial, I don't know where to go. Like, I don't, and that, I guess that was kind of a downside, is if they were going to use the original, you know, new King of the Kill map with this, we kind of know where everything is. You know, that would have been less enticing to me than what they are doing of bringing in this whole new map to where you can feel like you're exploring and discovering. And, you know, it is a new feeling when you spawn in for the first time.
Exactly. And I think the only way to really wipe the slate clean, which is what they need for Just Survive, this is the way to do it, is not to
PHE brings up there might be NPCs in this, like,
who knows, but again, I don't care what's in it, it all needs to come at the same time. That is the point I am making. I don't care what's in it, it all needs to come at the same time, because if they just barely turn that faucet on and it's just a dribble,
they trickle it in,
it sucks, because by the time it already comes in, it's like, I've already seen the NPCs, I've already seen the base building, I've already seen the zombies, I've already seen the melee, I've already seen the weather system, all you're showing me is the new map. They need to package this up. If somebody from Daybreak is listening, package this thing up.
Are you saying they are?
I'm saying if somebody is listening,
yeah,
package this thing up in a nice little shiny silver box, put a bow on the top of it, and push it all out as one thing. Because I really don't want to see half-assed implementation of each thing coming in until the new map is ready. If it takes 3 months to get it done, then don't push an update to Just Survive for 3 months. But please do not trickle these things in one by one. Because I'm going to be so pissed off by the time the actual map comes out, because it's, you know, it's just not going to be the same. I want a whole new game, which is what Just Survive needs. And I would imagine they know that. I think they know that.
And these new developers seem pretty competent. not confident, but competent in how they're handling things. They're handling it in a much better fashion than it used to be.
I mean, here's the thing, Brian. Let me ask you this one question that we need to move on because we're crazy running late.
Yeah.
If they just introduce base building next week, let's just say next week they introduce the modular base building system, are you going to jump back in to Just Survive and play for 3 months?
No, I would log in and I would
check it
get
out.
Get there just enough to get a base built.
Bingo.
And then that would be it. Because
that's
what
the
would
problem.
Be the point?
Exactly. That's why they need to release it all together, because nobody is going to go, oh, I'm gonna spend the next 6 months of my life playing this game. If it all comes together, it all needs to come together at the same time. That is the key to success with Just Survive, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yep, we'll see. And I think that they have that in mind. They have to, and it may be that they kind of trickle these things into the test server, I would assume. But you know, and then get the test server to the point of they feel like it's stable and then push it. Because it's not like they're putting all this together secretly in the background and then boom, it's on live. Like, that's not how they're doing it. These would be things that, okay, this week we have Melee into the test server. This week we have the base building into the test server. This week we have the new map on the test server. You know, it might not be 1 week between each, but I think that, you know, these things will be tested and you'll be able to go check it out. But then they can say, all right, this is the new release of Just Survive. And it'll be, once it's stable, roll it out.
Yeah. So let's move into King of the Kill quickly. There was a producer's update and a game update. We're not going to cover those, but we did have record breaking numbers for H1Z1 King of the Kill. And I don't care what you think. It's a failure. You hate it. It sucks. It's not good. You're wrong.
Somebody's playing it.
You're wrong. I mean, you can't possibly be right. So Saturday, while we were actually recording our special edition of, Infection, I actually nudged Brian and had him look at this picture. They reached a peak on Saturday of 110,237. Now, ARK, if you remember, about a month ago, reached their all-time peak, which was 101,035. So they had 9,000, just over 9,000 more players playing H1Z1 King of the Kill than ARK. So again, you could say the game's a failure. You can say it sucked. You can say you hate it. There's 100,000 people playing it, and there was 100,000 people that played it today,
too. We calculated that's over, like, 700 to 800 servers they have going at once, like games, concurrent games. I mean, that is a huge
number. It's a lot.
Number.
And in Chorus Wins producer's update, which we're not going to have a chance to read on the show because we're running so late, he mentioned, you know, this out of nowhere player jump and the fact that they are scaling up servers to handle this overflow, and he said something about queue times maybe changing, but you know, we'll see what happens with that. Congratulations to the H1Z1 King of the Kill team. It's a great accomplishment. It's taken when did Battle Royale's Player Unknown's mod make it into the game? Was it 6 months in? Was it 8 months in? Was it a year in? I don't really remember.
Somebody in the chat. It was probably a year. It had to have been like a year, maybe three quarters of a year, if I remember correctly.
And PHVCK's made a great point. That's when Battlegrounds was live, too. And I would imagine a lot of this hype, Brian, is around this tournament. People are trying to qualify for this tournament.
Because they have to get their numbers up.
As we say, get good. So, you know, for people to be getting good, they need to be playing. And, This tournament's going to be, I imagine, is going to go very well. Of course, we'll have TwitchCon that's going to be in September, October-ish range. I don't think they've announced it for next year yet. But, again, say what you want, but you're fooling yourself if you don't think King of the Kill is an unbelievably successful cash cow for Daybreak.
Yeah. So, yeah, they're doing very well. And the numbers, you know, prove it. The fact that they've roughly in the last month sold about 500,000 copies.
Yeah,
roughly. I mean, you know,
I'm hesitant with those numbers.
Even if it's 100,000 off, that's still a very impressive number.
Yeah, people are playing.
So they
the
are
game.
Selling copies.
Yeah, and again, we say it all the time. The game is frustrating, but it's a lot of fun. It is a lot of fun. No matter what you say, it's a lot of fun. I mean, we still play it. Why do I still log in from time to time and play it, even though all I do is kind of complain about it? Because it's fun.
Yep.
It's one of the only games where you can get a five-player experience with.
Yep.
I mean, name another game. I mean, they have Survival of the Fittest is a joke. There's not many games where you can get that teamwork-based, arcadey, quick five-man experience. And King of the Kill's got it. So.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so do we want to just go...
I just want to say one more thing about this quickly to note. There was a producer's Q&A that took place, and I just want to mention this one comment. I linked the wrong thread. Give me one second. I linked the wrong thread.
Yeah, no worries.
I lost it. here it is. This was a question asked by CS4U. The question was, final kill doesn't show in the kill feed / kill counter, disappears after a win in 2s and BRs, sometimes leaving the question as to who got the final kill. And Chris Wynn's response to that answer was, let's see if this one is resolved in a way with the new Team Spectate cam that is being released in our next update. This was 6 hours ago. The next update, and the last update was... I got the wrong mouse. The last update was the 8th, which was last Wednesday. So I would imagine within the next 2 weeks, there will be a Spectate mode. And it's going to be on test servers ideally before that. Hopefully it's on test servers this week so we could test that out, or next week. And it's going to be coming alive. So finally, maybe they figured a way to... maybe they found a way to work around it.
I never saw why it was so hard. I mean, that's the thing, is in the engine, it might be really difficult. And I'm assuming that it had to have been.
Yeah.
It took them this long to get it done.
Yeah. So hopefully when it comes in, it's polished. Again, if it takes them 8 months to do something, but when it comes in, it works flawlessly and it works 100% of the time, there's not much to complain about.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Yep. And I mean, the King of the Kill, it's good for what it is. And if they can get it smoothed out to where, I mean, that's the tough thing they fight against is guns. But I think a lot of that has to do with ping times. I think if they're willing to dial that, or tune it, or figure out how they're going to bring people to the same servers based on a little bit of ping time, so you don't, or restrict servers a little bit, I think that this game, a lot of those issues that we think are just ridiculous bugs, will go away.
Yeah. So we will. I'm gonna reach out to somebody from the H1Z1 team, because I really would like to talk to them about specifically about the stuff coming on in Just Survive in the future.
Yeah.
So okay. We will do that, and we've actually do have a couple of other interviews that are scheduled. We were gonna do one
Three
a month.
Ones.
But we're gonna probably have to do two a month, or we're gonna be booking people into 2018, which is not an effective measure when doing a podcast. So with all that being said, let's move on here, Brian. We've got about 10 minutes left. I'm not going to do current players. My voice is shot. So
okay.
We'll just have to do tip of the week at the end. So whatever you want to do, we can.
Well, do we want to do the Rust video really quick and then give your voice a rest?
The Rust video is like 7 minutes long. So that'll wrap up the show.
Okay, then we do want to do Miscreated.
Let's do Miscreated and Unturned, and then we'll wrap it up with the tip of the week.
Okay.
That work for you?
Yep, that works for me. So one thing they did, this is update number 47. So this was put out 4 days ago over the weekend.
It's a big one.
And yes, so they now have added so that servers can support 50 players. So they're raising that up. So they must be getting the server performance to the point of, the point of where they can handle more and more players. They put out to where they could handle more players initially with getting a relevant system put in. But with this, they're getting it tuned up to where 50 players, hopefully. I know they want to do more. But if you have a server that you rent, and you don't have the 50 players, you can contact your server host and they should be able to do that update and get more players on that server. In the game, headshots now work correctly. So they fixed on February 23rd. This was fixed for all servers. So it's been fixed for a little bit, but they didn't announce it at that time. They fixed the ghost shot issue. They increased the surface friction for grass. So this is if you shoot somebody, they won't slide down the hill anymore. They should stop and to where you can loot them before they go all the way to the bottom. And they slightly increase the mass of smaller mutants and animals so that they will sink in the water. So that's something, if an animal goes in the water, they'll no longer float or stand on top. They actually sink. They said more potential client crashes fixed. Opening your inventory while holding an animal now drops the animal. So you can carry around chickens and pigs and things like that in the game. So if you open your inventory, it will put them down. They fixed PvE damage multipliers for special cases. So like the lug wrench, the self-damage while falling, starving, bleeding, things like that. So that multiplier should be correct. So you'll get the proper amount of damage. Silencers have been added to the game. So now that works on pistols and rifles. You can put a silencer on there. They added a craftable candle, and you actually can carry the candle around. They added cargo shorts and a lot of varieties of cargo shorts to the game. So you can put those on now instead of pants. They adjusted all ammo and magazine proxies to be a minimum of 8 centimeters squared. So this helps keep them from falling through things when you drop them. So you can put them down there, a little bit bigger mass. They decreased the megalite radius and intensity, so this helps prevent shadowing issues. They decreased the tarp camo netting mass from 2 kilograms to 1 kilogram. Tarps can now stack to a 3, decrease the paint can size, so stack size, so that's 5 to 2. Let's see. You can now see those jerry cans, so if you're searching for gas for your vehicles, you can now see those at a further distance. The reflex sight is now called the hollow sight. They increase the size of the small generator, and then map textures updated with all new roads and locations. So if you pull up your in-game map, you should see all those updated locations they've added. Let's see. They increased the light radius for camping lanterns. So if you are carrying around a camping lantern, that should be brighter and should have more area that it covers. They increased the large candle radius slightly and added a lens flare. So a little bit of a nice visual effect. And then they adjusted the light and particle effects of all candles. So you should notice a big difference with that. They seem to be adjusting mass sizes. And I don't know if they've been testing throwing things in the water and seeing what floats and what doesn't. But they've gone through and adjusted the mass sizes of a lot of objects and adjusting stack sizes. I think they're really trying to focus on that inventory. So things make sense. So like adjusted the height of 3M tire stacks. So if you put tires on top of each other, adjusting the height of those. They've worked on the AI some. So they like for the AI on the give up radius for the different types of they're not zombies in here. They call them something else, but the give up radius randomized now helps prevent exploiting the behavior. So like, except for wolves. So they put actually a kind of a random number to the give up radius of those animals. AI will now engage the player again if they have given up chasing the player and they are subsequently attacked. So if you go have something chase you, you get it to give up, and then you go attack it, it will end up attacking you again. They've been adjusting the map a little bit. The UI, there was an issue with the DPI. That they did fix. They did have a temporary patch they put in before this or something you could change with the launcher. But they said DPI awareness has now been disabled. This fixes mouse scaling issues in full screen mode. And then they updated an icon for the M40 magazine. There was an issue where the audio for the radio tower was actually playing the creaking windmill noise. So they got that fixed. So that should be correct now. They fixed a number of animations. And then they went through and fixed a number of textures. So the game should have a little bit better feel when you're eating and drinking, doing some of those different animations, and also like the gun flares. They fixed some things with the female texture. So that should look a little bit better. So that is the update number 47. We'll have a link. I'm kind of glazed over some of the things, but that was done on the 10th. And pretty good size patch. They usually do about this size of a list whenever they do updates.
Yes.
All right. Are you feeling all right?
Yeah. Trying to get through.
All right. So so what do you want? What do you want to do?
I could do in turn quickly, and then we'll announce the Steam. We'll announce the game giveaway. I can do it.
Do we want to announce the game giveaway right now so that we have some time?
Yeah. Let's do the game giveaway, and then I'll do in turn, and then we'll wrap it up.
Okay.
Let me know when you
come. All right. So if you put exclamation point giveaway in chat And this is going to be Chroma Squad. And this actually has a very good, I think, extremely positive rating inside of Steam. And so I put a link in chat, but it's Chroma Squad. This is a RPG strategy indie pixel graphics comedy. Overwhelmingly positive rating. So we'll do this. It's about a $15 game usually. But if you want to go ahead and try that out, it's Chroma Squad.
Alrighty. And we will transition to Unturned, a quick update for the game, update 3.18.2.0. There are a couple things added here. The blindfold added a few more caves to the Hawaii, the Hawaiian map, the new one, and a large cavern to that as well. So some caves and a large cavern. Excuse me. Added workshop upload wizard to dev kit. Again, a lot of stuff. A lot of this stuff in the past couple of updates have been targeted around towards the dev kit and developers and people adding stuff to this already existing game. Added automatic server-side workshop downloads. Added more foliage detail to the Hawaii map. Added maple and pine beans, or beams. Maybe that's supposed to be beans or bean. I don't know what a beam is. Maybe it's a pointer or location or something like that.
It's probably a type of wood, right?
Beams. Like, I guess you're,
because it's doing maple tree.
Yeah, I guess that would make sense.
I would assume.
That would make sense. Okay. Thank you for clarifying that. And then added a Coast Guard mega zombie. They added a couple of Coast Guard watch stations a couple of weeks ago. So now there's a mega zombie that if you go to one of those places, you may run into. Tweak the Coast Guard spawns and just a couple of other random fixes as well. So that's all I got for Unturned.
All right. So, we'll go in right into tip of the week.
Sure, that works.
We could do the video if you want to do the 7-minute video. It's really up to you if you're in a hurry to get out of here.
We could do it if you want.
We can do that, and that'll give some time for the giveaway. Because other than that, we're going to be rolling out, and then only gives a few minutes.
So here is the Rust update.
Greetings, survivors and friends. Shadow here with your weekly injection of Rust news, where in this episode we have DIY SOS, self-hypnosis, and a fat ninja staring at a fishing net. But first, further to our homes looking more and more like a family outing to IKEA, minus those deliciously filthy Swedish meatballs, this week we have yet another item of furniture to stub our naked toes on, introducing the locker. Oh, great. Another storage device, you say. Don't we already have plenty of boxes, crates, and fridges cluttering up our once spacious bases? Well, yes, but what if I told you this one has some rather sexy functionality that sets it apart from the rest of the container crowd? You see, as its appearance would indicate, the locker does in fact comprise of three separate compartments, and here's the kicker. You'll notice that each one has 12 slots, which coincidentally is the same number as both my shoe size and IQ. I mean, it's the same number as your clothing and belt bar slots combined, and that, along with this big green button marked swap, should lead you to correctly conclude that if I press it, this will happen. And if I press it again, yes indeed. Not only is it now easy to whip off all your sweaty gear after a busy evening's foraging, but you can also have loadouts for different occasions and swap between them with the press of a button. Each set will cost you 100 frags and 50 wood to craft. In balancing this week, the AI of the attack chopper had a couple of adjustments to prevent various exploits involving tool cupboards. For instance, it wouldn't strafe if its target wasn't authorized on one in the area. Now it will, but it'll use napalm instead of rockets, something which as of this update will only damage players and so also prevents the ability to grief bases this way. Flame turrets are cheaper now, costing 5 high qual and 3 pipes less than before, and auto turrets require 35 less high qual, with parts available rarely in rad towns and in purple boxes. Since vending machines started showing up on our maps, it became a lot easier to plan shopping trips, but there was no indication of stock levels. Now, to prevent disappointment, empty machines will show as red, and the news is that further information will be displayed in future, such as a rating system. This is getting more and more like Amazon. Ever accidentally picked up a chair or table or had someone nick your prized bearskin rug that you made out of leather instead of an actual bear? Well, this isn't Skyrim, so from now on, picking up decor deployables not only requires building privilege, but you'll also need a hammer equipped. In addition to this, tables and chairs are now cheaper, and rugs are no longer indestructible. The early game struggle to obtain animal fat just became a bit easier for those willing to get their feet wet. Now small trout will yield an amount of fat when gutted, presumably some form of Omega-3. In tweaks this week, more third-person animations were completed for the revolver and AK, but best of all, playing the guitar now actually looks like it's supposed to, with both strumming and fingering action. The view model for the double barrel had some adjustments to the iron sights in this update, and the recoil when using them was toned down somewhat. Muzzle attachments had a bug where flashes were offset wrongly when used. This is now fixed, and a new effect was added for when firing with a silencer slash suppressor slash sound suppressor slash sound moderator, or whatever you want to be pedantic about calling them. Nice. Impact effects are being updated, as you can see here. The feeling was that the current ones looked a bit tired, so everything is getting another pass. I particularly like the sandbags, don't know about you. Sounds for footsteps are also being reworked, and I know how you like me to shut up when playing new audio, so I will, and here they are.
This makes for great radio, everyone.
Multi-threaded batching is now in. So what you say? Well, this should provide a performance boost, especially when loading in large buildings, for instance, but it's also a future-proofing exercise for other optimizations such as occlusion culling, which should make a lot of potatoes very happy indeed. Progress was also made in the area of memory leaks, with a couple more being identified and taken care of this week, and because performance isn't being helped massively by all of the workshop skins we've been getting lately, ways to improve this are being looked into. But for those that really find it a problem, skins can be temporarily disabled now by typing item skins 0 into the F1 console. Elsewhere on the subject of performance, various building parts have been optimized over the last couple of weeks to reduce the number of vertices being used, and it's also discovered that for some reason, plants such as pumpkins and hemp were impacting performance even more than player bases were, so this has now been addressed. Over to works in progress, and I mentioned recently that a new tier 1 workbench was taking shape. Here's the latest model, complete with air freshener, tree, and floating wrench. Not quite sure yet what will be included in the functionality, but stay tuned and I shall fill you in when I know. The wooden armor rework now covers all of your key vulnerable spots and really does look like a man just burst out of an old barrel. The idea of a matching helmet's being toyed with, but it's not certain whether that will ever be a thing. Hopefully soon though, this should be in game. If you ever wondered why we can't make skins for the bed, it's because it's currently being reworked to fit in more with the Rust aesthetic. Here's how it's looking right now, and I can't help being reminded of the movie Step Brothers when I see this for some reason. The flow of items squirting forth from
Concept Limbo
still shows no sign of abating, and the latest examples to look forward to are firstly the wall spinner, which was a concept from over a year ago, which was thought of as a way to help make complex decisions. The plan is to allow players to paint it themselves, but also to enable pre-made skins to be uploaded to the workshop. And secondly, a new wall block that would act as a frame, but allow players to create continuous climbing surfaces inside or indeed outside their bases. Let's just hope we never get turtles on Rust Island, eh? Lastly, a feature that Gary has been working on and that's only available to server owners and admins is the ability to record demos in Rust. I'll put a link to the forum post for you in the video description, but basically, this feature allows gameplay in Rust to be recorded and then played back, slowed down or sped up, and viewed from any angle. It's a really cool idea and will not only help with development, but is also dead handy for filmmakers. As I say, it's restricted to admin only, so can't be abused to look inside bases, for instance, so don't worry about that. What do you think of this week's update? Leave me a comment. Also, smack those like and subscribe buttons and join me on Twitch, Twitter, Facebook, and Steam too. I shall catch you all soon, but in the meantime, keep calm and stay rusty. Cheerio.
All right. Thank you, Shadowfrax, for the update. He actually is now a verified channel on YouTube now, which was able to accomplish. He was given today, so congratulations to him on that as well. I wish him the best. That movie editor thing is awesome for cinematic stuff. It's a great little tool for film makers that want to do stuff like that. All right.
Yeah, and I wonder how he's doing that as far as kind of letting you move around the scene and everything. That's pretty cool. It didn't look like a Ansel or whatever that is, the NVIDIA, because this is actually letting you do
interacting stuff.
So
yeah,
he must
exactly.
have done a lot of work behind that.
All right, where do we go next?
All right, so tip of the week. Tip of the week is where we go through and either I'll give a tip about a specific game or maybe a gaming tip in general. This week it's going to be about Battlegrounds, so this is tip of the week. All right, so we were talking a little bit about how there could be some confusion when jumping out of a plane. So I wanted to give a tip that we were using to make sure that we would land in a similar place. So when jumping out of a plane, you can adjust your falling speed. So on the left-hand side, you will see it will say how fast you are falling to the ground. And if you will time that, maybe tell your partner, try to fall at this speed, they will have to adjust their body. So you pretty much say, we're going to move this direction. They have a nice compass on there that says north, northeast. So you jump, make sure you're aiming that exact direction, and then say, hey, let's fall at this speed. That will make it so you actually have to angle your fall to the correct angle, and you will fall at that specific speed. If you if you're both falling at that speed, you're both aiming in the same direction, when your parachute pops out, you should be in roughly the same area. Another thing you can do is keep an eye on your mini map. So if you're using the mini map, you're using your direction, and you're using your fall speed, you can start to tweak it towards the end of your fall. When you're in the parachute, kind of angle it to where you are getting somewhat close, because should both be right on your mini map at that point. And you should be able to land at the same house or in the same complex. A lot of people, they're looking around and saying, hey, let's aim for this one little place over here. That can get confusing. A lot of people don't know the map that well yet. There's not names for these areas. So you guys might, in the confusion, be aiming for different places. And we did find this for a bit. But if you do, just keep an eye on those three things. Then, you know, you're not really calling out a specific place. You guys will be landing in the same place. So that should help. We found that to be much easier. Now, it does help a lot, the fact that you're not, when you jump out of the plane, all of a sudden randomly aiming in a different direction. Or when you hit the ground, you start going in an opposite direction. Or even just when your parachute comes out, aiming in a different direction. They seem to have that pretty well tuned to where landing together is a much easier thing to pull off now. So that is tip of the week. And hopefully this next test, having five people, you'll really have to pay attention to this a lot more, because you don't want all five of the people landing to be in totally different areas. It can be a big pain to get everybody back together. So that is tip of the week.
And I'm not actually sure if I reached out to Battlegrounds. I don't know if the test next week is going to be four or five players in Arma. A squad was four in Battle Royale and H1Z when it's five. So
they may go for four. I know things are usually kind of aimed at how Arma was in a lot of these things, because King of the Kill, they went through and changed a number of things that weren't what he had, had envisioned in the beginning. So I think they'll probably go, if that's how it was in Arma with four, then they'll probably most likely do four. But so they may find that five works really well. I mean, they could get away with even more. That's the thing, is in this game, if they even wanted to do 10-man groups, that would still be a lot of fun in this game.
Yeah, for sure. We'll see what happens. Look forward to jumping into that next week and playing with a group of larger than two. That's kind of what we've been waiting for. So, alrighty, let's do the giveaway
here. Let's go ahead and roll this.
And wrap it up.
All right, congratulations, Ferraria. She'll probably like this game. This is kind of her style of game, so I will send her a link. And it wasn't rigged, I promise. This is an automated process now. So.
Sure.
And of course, PH enters right after the giveaway is done. So thank you very much, PH.
Say what you must. All righty, Brian. Well, thank you so much. Where can people find you online?
Yeah, if you want to find me at Boise Computer on Twitter, or you're more than welcome to go to my blog, biteoftech.com. Also, if you're looking to chat, to see what games we're playing, maybe join us in some games, really encourage you to go check out our Discord. Our Discord is the place where people throughout the whole week are just talking, hanging out. If there's any game you want to play, you know, got people playing Rust, got people over the weekend when we're when Battlegrounds is open. People are jumping into the Battlegrounds channel and just starting up games here randomly. So if you're looking for a good group of players, we have a lot of fun people to play with. And we usually have about 40-ish people plus, like right now we got a little more than that, in there at any one time. So there's a good selection of people to throw a game idea out there. So if you, hey, I want to play some Overwatch, I want to play even some H1Z1, just put it in chat and usually you can find some people to play with you. So also we have our Steam group. If you're looking for notifications of when our game of the weeks are going to start, I'm looking for notifications of whenever live pod, at least, so maybe you're listening to the podcast form, you're watching this on YouTube after the fact, you can go ahead and join our Steam group. And it will notify you, send up a little notification right when we're starting our live broadcast. That allows you to enter in on some of the game giveaways. Also, if you want to give some input during the show, you can come in there and we are the whole time we're watching the chat. So if you go to infectionpodcast.com on the right hand side for our Discord group, there's a button that says to connect. For our Steam group, there's a link that'll take you right to our Steam page and you can join up there. And, that'll get you connected to us. So, and also, if you're not following us on Twitter, I really encourage you to go to our Twitter page, and it's at InfectionCast, if I remember correctly. That will, if you go on there, click follow, and we'd really appreciate it. So, I think that's it for me.
Alrighty. Thank you very much, Brian. And of course, I recommend you go check out our special edition of Infection, the Survival Podcast, our PAX East 2017 edition. If you like, if you're a fan of the pre-show and post-show on the live show, it's that entire thing is pretty much a pre-show.
It's pretty much 2 hours of that.
2 hours of that. So if you enjoy that, check that out. we're going to be working on a bunch of cool things for the rest of the year. We have a lot of cool stuff that we're a plan that we've talked about, and we hope to get those things all worked out. Alrighty, Brian, thank you very much. Hopefully you have escaped the PAX pox. I don't think I have.
So. I think I'm good.
But I want to show this picture before we leave. People don't believe how much snow we got. This is a picture of the snow completely covering the driver's side of my car.
Nice.
Still snowing. So yeah. There you go.
For all you weather. Have what? 20 what inches? 20 something inches?
20, probably 20. 21, probably 22 by now.
That's crazy.
So, of course, check out our YouTube channel. We're going to continue uploading the rest of those interviews. I hope to have the rest of those up by next Tuesday. It all depends on how this thing progresses and how well I feel over the next couple of days, but we'll do our best. Of course, Nelson from Unturned will be joining us next week. Make sure you tune in live. If you're in Europe and you're listening to this after the fact, you said, I missed the show. Daylight savings time has happened in the U.S., hasn't happened over across the pond yet, so adjust your clock. Will be an hour earlier for you across the pond. So make sure you get all that stuff in line. Folks, that is going to do it for another episode of Infection, the Survival Podcast. Thank you for tuning in. Check out our website, infectionpodcast.com. Have a great week, everyone.